Start today the Torah Way, Northwest London, Friday, 6th of Teves, 30th of December, Rabbi Eli Siegel Shlita, the end is nigh. This week's Torah Way is sponsored by Nishmas, from Pentecost Yosef ben Rishmul, the Torah of Rocha, on the Shlosh with the latest of Paul of Eve, the Torah of Rocha, a regular Torah Way participant of many years, and also my family Rosenberg on the 6th year outside the Mrs. Pansha Rosenberg, Aliyah Shalom. Lili Nishmas, Al Tachana Nechabas, Rabbi Nachum Eliezer, Olei HaShalom, the Ziyad site was on Wednesday.
But hopefully the title won't be as scary as it sounds.
The end is nigh.
Last week I did a small chesed and I was rewarded straight away. My daughter likes to get every week a certain children's publication, a magazine to read on Shabbos, and last week she wasn't well, she hadn't been out for a few days, and she was desperate to get this magazine, so, you know, I thought I'd be a good father. I got into the car, I went to a local shop, and I bought her the magazine. And when I was there, I met somebody there, a friend of mine who was visiting from Eretz Yisrael, and he told me a vort. And I thought, you know, that's something, this might help me, and I was rewarded, because formed the basis of what I'm going to speak about today. And he told me a very interesting idea. I mean, he said, Miket is Gematria 230. Vayigash is Gematria 319. He says, if you take Miket, the difference between Miketz and Vayigash there is 89, which is Gematria Chanukah. So he said the Chanukah is what takes you from Miketz to Vayigash. Yeah, we know that Miketz is always Shabbos, almost always Shabbos Chanukah. And so as I say, I was rewarded with a nice Dvar Torah, but the truth is, It's very sweet, it's very nice, but it needs a bit more pshat to it. What's the havana? What's the meaning behind it? That Miket with Chanukah speak takes you from Miket to Vayigash. So in order to understand this, really, we have to look at a few things. We have to look at Miket. We have to look at Vayigash. And we have to look at Chanukah. And we have to see how Chanukah sort of is a bridge, or takes us forward from Miket to Vayigash. So let's begin with Parshas Miket. Parshas Miket, the Rabbeinu Bechaya has a hakdoma in the beginning of every parsha. He has a hakdoma to each parsha in which he takes a posuk from Mishlei, and he uses that as his basis to explain the parsha, sort of to encapsulate the parsha or tell us a bit about the character of the parsha. And in Parshas Miket, the pasuk he takes is a pasuk in Mishlei. It says, "Betach Hashem bechol libecho ve'el binoscho al tishoy." Betach Hashem bechol libecho is a pasuk in Mishlei Gimel. Have betach and have trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu bechol libecho with your full heart. And don't rely on your bino, don't rely on your own intellect and your own understanding. And he goes quite a length in the concept, in the whole inyan of bitochen, the inyan of ishtablus, and he says, he's got a words over here, ve'ein loy litlois tikvosoi behishtablusoi. He shouldn't base and rely on his own hishtablus, rak v'akodesh baruch hu. And he goes on to quote in length the other sort of Rabbeinu Bechaya, the Chovas al Vavas, where the Lechayvus Avovus goes through eight chalokim, or eight levels and degrees of bitochen, and he goes through all of them. And the way he explains it and the way he relates it to the parasha is, as we know, that by he miketz shenosayim yomim. These were the end of the 2 years, the two extra years that Yosef had to languish in prison, another 2 years, as the Medrash tells us and Rashi tells us at the end of Parshas Vayeshev, that Yosef HaTzadik was criticized for a lack of his level of bitochen, because he said to the Sar HaMashkim, ki im zachartani v'hizkartani, twice he mentioned to the Sar HaMashkim to remember him, remind him to Paro. And as Rashi quotes at the end of Vayeshev, and it's a medrash at the beginning of Miketz, it says the pasuk Ashrei Hagever, pasuk Tehillim, Ashrei Hagever Asher Som Hashem Miftachoi V'loifono El Rehovim. Ashrei Hagever Tehillim Peik Mem. Ashrei Hagever, praiseworthy is the person Asher Som Hashem Miftachoi, he places his trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'loifono El Rehovim, and he did not turn to the arrogant. And says the medrash, Ashrei Hagever Asher Som Hashem Miftachoi, who is that? Zeh Yosef. V'loifono El Rehovim, and he didn't turn to the arrogance. It says, because Yosef said to the Sar HaMashkim, ki im zechartani, his kartani, nitoisef lo ishtei shonim, he was, another 2 years were added to his prison term. And it was only after those 2 years, that's by him, miketz shenosayim yomim, ufarei cholim. And just briefly, it's famous, the Beis HaLevi, who explains this medrash, because on the one hand, there are two things really we have to understand. Number one, what was so wrong with what Yosef did by asking the Sar HaMashkim to mention him to Paro? Surely that's just a basic, minimal hishtadlus. And furthermore, says the Beis HaLevi, that the Medrash seems to contradict itself, Minei Obey, because the Medrash starts off by saying, Ashrei Hagev, we're praising, we're saying, who is the paradigm, who's the prime example of bitochen, Zeh Yosef. And then we say, no, but he didn't have bitochen. He was lacking his bitochen because he placed his trust in the Sar HaMashkim. And the Beis HaLevi explains, but perhaps to explain a little bit, the Mesillas Yesharim, when he describes the whole notion of hishtadlus, he uses a term, he says hishtadlus is like a mas, is a tax. He says hishtadlus is something, it's a decree, because of the chet of the Eitz Hadas, it's something we have to do, it's a duty we have to do. And if we do hishtadlus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer in kind. But it's basically, he says, it's like a tax. He says nobody wants to pay more tax than they have to pay. So nobody should be doing, it's futile for somebody, or stupid for somebody, to be trying to do more hishtadlus than is necessary. Because hishtadlus is something, it's our duty, but the outcome of the hishtadlus, or the results, have got no bearing to the actual hishtadlus. The outcome is purely from the Rabbeinu Shalom. We do what we have to do. The Rabbeinu Shalom will give us, as we've done our duty of hishtadlus, but the outcome is not necessarily going to come. It can come from a completely different avenue. There's a story, a Mashuloch once came to the Chazon Ish. He traveled to America, and he'd spent a lot of effort and time and money traveling to America to raise funds for a certain moysud. And basically, he came back pouring salt out to the Chazon Ish, that it seemed to be, it was a wasted exercise, because he barely made his ticket back. So the Chazon Ish says, it doesn't matter, you just have to do your hishtadlus. The Rabbeinu Shalom will send. You've done your hishtadlus. And that day or the next day, he received a check for somewhere in Europe where he wasn't even contemplating, he wasn't even thinking about it, exactly for the right amount that he needed. So we do hishtadlus, the Rabbeinu Shalom sends. If someone does, overindulges in hishtadlus, or does what's considered more hishtadlus than is necessary, then it's not simply he's done too much hishtadlus. By doing so, that demonstrates that his approach to hishtadlus is wrong. Because it demonstrates that when he's doing hishtadlus, he feels that it's my work which is approving the results. And therefore, the logical follow-on from that would be, so if I need something more, so maybe if I do more hishtadlus, then it's more likely that I'll get it, and that's the problem. So, and the Beis HaLevi says, so how do we know? how much ishtadlus to do, or what's considered too much ishtadlus. So he says it depends on each person. It depends on the level of bitachon on each person. And therefore says the Beis Halevi that no, the Asher Geva Shesomer Hashem Biftach, the Yosef HaTzadik, as we see, the Medrash says Yosef was on such a high level of bitachon. How do we see that? Because just for the very fact that he said perhaps one extra word to the Sar HaMashkin, and he got punished for that, that was on his level, that was considered excessive ishtadlus, is an indication of what a high level of bitachon he was on. But al kaponim, that's the idea. And as they explain, that what would have been the correct ishtadlus on Yosef's part, perhaps to say once to the Sar HaMashkin. But once he said it twice, so the extra time he said it, that was considered the chesaron, that was too much. But what did he get punished? For 2 years. You could say he should only get punished for 1 year. But as we're saying, no. Because by doing the extra hishtablus, that was demonstrated, that was indication that the first time he said it was also lacking. Because it showed that his approach to hishtablus on his level was a bit wrong, because he was basing it on his own doing rather than the Rabbi Shlomo. In fact, there is one of the many Ramazim to Chanukah in Parshas Miketz. Yeah, it's replete with Ramazim to Chanukah. Mm-hmm. One of them is Vayhi Miketz Shenosayim Yomim, is Samoil Neiros Tadlik Yomim Mezuzah. The word Shenosayim, Samoil Neiros Tadlik Yomim Mezuzah. And the pshat could be that, as I say, we'll turn to Chanukah a bit more, but just for the moment, this one aspect of Chanukah is that one element of Chanukah, the Gemara says that one the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is when we have to light, is the shir, or the zman is ad shetichle regel min hashuk, which means that until people are no longer wandering about in the streets. The Ramosha Leib Misasov says ad shetichle regel min hashuk means that Chanukah is meant to impress upon a person that one ad shetichle regel min hashuk. That means, he says, the shuk is the place of the hishtadlus, and it means to say that one doesn't have to be the last person in the marketplace. So that means you don't have to put in all those extra hours. You do your minimal hishtadlus. Ad shetichle regel min hashuk means you refrain a bit and hold yourself back from the shuk. Do what you have to do, but don't be over excessive in your hishtadlus in the shuk. And that's one of the messages of Ner Chanukah. Now, the mezuzah, we have on the right-hand side of the house as we enter, because it's Yemin HaNichnas, it's on the right-hand side as one enters one's house. And that means, because when a person comes into one's house, coming from the insecurity of the outside, and he comes into the security of his home, then a person's liable to think that now I'm safe, I'm secure, I've got my house, I've got my home, I've got my security system, wherever it may be. So we have a mezuzah on the right-hand side as we enter into the house, and we place our hand, we kiss the mezuzah, the shakai, which stands for Shomer Dalsos Yisrael, that we realize, we place our trust, it's the Ribbono Shel Olam who's looking after, guarding us. It's not our houses, it's the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the mezuzah on the right as we enter into the house. The menorah is on the left-hand side. But it's on the left-hand side when we enter the house, but it's actually on the right as we're going out to the street. So what the mezuzah is to the house, the menorah is to the street. That the menorah, as we're saying, is a message not to overindulge in one's hishtadlus, to realize that when one does hishtadlus, is totally the Rabbeinu Shlomo. So as we go out to the street, on the right as we're going out, we have the menorah, to remind us that's the Samoil Neiros Tadlik Yomim Mezuzah. That's the remez, which is merumas in the Shenosayim Yomim, which is the Shenosayim, the 2 years that Yosef was in prison for his extra hishtadlus. But that's Miketz, as we're saying. So Miketz, as Rabbeinu Bechaya says, Miketz is the message of bitachon, placing one's full trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and yes, one has to do ishtablus, but one does the minimal. And when one does do the ishtablus, even when one does do the ishtablus, as the Rabbeinu Bechaya says, Ein loy litlois tikvosoi bishtablusoi rak b'Hakadosh Baruch Hu. But even when one does ishtablus, but don't place one's hope in one's ishtablus, but only in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, let's move on to Parshas Vayigash. And Vayigash, we find that Vayigash is related, definitely the beginning of Vayigash, to the Indian of Tefillah. The Pasuk starts, Vayigash Elav Yehuda, Vayomer Bi Adoni Yudabed of the Chol Ozni Adoni, and the Charedim says that, the other say as well, but Charedim is one of the earlier sources who says, what's the twice Bi Adoni Yudabed of the Chol Ozni Adoni? So the Charedim says, no, first the first Adoni Yosef was davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Be Adoni, please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let my words be heard and enter the Ozne of Yosef, or the ruler. But it was a tefillah. Vayigash was a tefillah. And the truth is, we find this in an even earlier source. The Ramah in Siman Tzadi Hei, Sif Aleph, says, Yesh Oimrim, Yelech, the fall of Gif a Gimel Psios. Some say that before one Damas Shmoneh Esrei, which one takes three steps forward before one Damas Shmoneh Esrei. And this comes, this the source of this is from a Rekeach. And the Darkim Moshe on the Torah, he brings this Rekeach, and he brings a Rekeach with the full quote of the Rekeach, or the full source, where the Rekeach says, there are three times where we find the word Vayigash. There's Vayigash Avram, where Avram was davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save Sodom. You've got Vayigash El of Yehuda, and then there's Vayigash Eliyahu in Melachim, in Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel, where Eliyahu was davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his carbon should be accepted. So, says the Rekeach, three times Vayigash, three times coming close, three times he says Vayigash Litfila. So therefore that's a remez that when we daven, we take three steps forward. Yeah? So, which is interesting that I can understand that Vayigash Avram is Tfila, because it's clear he was davening there. Vayigash Eliyahu is tefillah, but Vayigash Elov Yehuda, where's the tefillah? And there are quite a number of other places in Tanakh where we have the word Vayigash. But you see, the Rekeach, these are the three times in Tanakh where Vayigash is for tefillah. So you see the Rekeach, which is a much earlier source, understands as well that Vayigash, the Vayigash Elov Yehuda, was the tefillah. And other Mefarshim speak about this idea of Vayigash the Tefillah. Sfasemes says Vayigash Elov Yehuda. Yeah, he brings from Chedush Arim that Klal Yisrael are called Yehudim because they have the ability or the middle of being Moida, giving thanks and acknowledging. And Vayigash Elov Yehuda, he says that the way to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is through being acknowledging through every little thing, whether big or small, comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Sifsi Chaim, that's Reb Chaim Friedlander, when he speaks about Bitochen, and he speaks about Tefillah, he says a very interesting thing. He says, we find that the Sforim tell us that when one has a machshava, one has a hisoyrus for something, it's not good enough just to leave it in one's mind. One has to put it into action. One has to put it in the maisa. And he brings various sources for this at various riots. And he says that the lemaisa of bitochen is tefillah. Now his bitochen is the mindset that it's the machshava. It's the mindset of I place my trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what's the lemaisa of that? What's that putting that into action? That is tefillah. The idea of tefillah is to take one's bitochen and actually work on it and put it and actually do something about it, articulate and say And that's what tefillah is. Because tefillah is, I'm turning to the Rabbi Yishlam. Tefillah means, I'm turning to Rabbi Yishlam because you, Rabbi Yishlam, are the sole provider. You're the only one who can provide, and I'm turning to you and I'm not relying on myself. That is what tefillah. Tefillah is the lemaisa of bitachon. And the more one davens, the more one instills with one oneself this concept of bitachon. Now, if we go back a little bit to Hanukkah, there is a medrash at the beginning of Parashas Miketz, where the medrash relates another pasuk in Iyov, to do with the parashah says, "Ketz som lachoshech." Ketz som lachoshech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed an end to the darkness. And the Medrash says that refers to the end of the darkness of Yosef's term in prison. That means everything's, HaKadosh Baruch had a fixed time when Yosef had to get out of prison. The Medrash says it's to do with the Yetzias Mitzrayim. There was a time of the Ketz when Klal Yisrael had to go out of Mitzrayim. What's interesting is that perhaps we find that Choshech is a reference to Yavon. Because the Medrash, at the beginning of Parashas Bereishis, says, V'ha'oretz hoiso soyu, v'avoyu, v'choshech al p'nei sohoim. And the Medrash says these four expressions refer to the Dalet Golius. Where Choshech refers to Yavon. And why is the Yavon called Choshech? Al shehichshichu einem shel Yisrael b'gzeirisem. They darkened the eyes of Klal Yisrael with their gzeiris, with their decrees. And they made them, they forced them to do the following. They said, Kisu lachem al keren hashoir, write on a horn of a shoir, she'ein lachem chelek b'lekei Yisrael. You have no chelek, no part in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what's the idea of writing al keren hashoir? So there are many pshatim, a number of pshatim. But what's interesting is, there's a Rambam in Igeres Teimon. The Rambam wrote various letters, and one of the letters he wrote was to the people of Teimon who were suffering from persecution and Gezeirah Shmat. And the Rambam is writing to them to be mechazik them and telling them how Klal Yisrael throughout history have been through various difficult times and trying times. And he mentions the Gezeirah, the time of the Chashmonaim, and he mentions this Chazal, and he says that as the Medrash says, Choshes Yavon, they said to them, Kisu lachem al keren hashoir, ein lachem chelek elokei Yisrael. But then the Rambam adds three words, or four words. He says, Va'achakach sheyachroish boy. That means the Rambam says, the Gzeira was right on the horn of a shoir, ein lachem chelek elokei Yisrael, and then Va'achakach plow with this shoir. In other words, the shoir was their means of ishtadlus. The shoir, the Klal Yisrael, or their main source of income or livelihood, sustenance was through the working the ground, through agriculture. The shoir was their tractor. The shoir was their tool of ishtadlus. And the Yevonim wanted to divorce any idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Hashkocha from Klal Yisrael. And therefore, they said to them, the Gezeirah was, when you're doing your Hishtadlus, then Kisu Lachem Eilachem Chele B'Kei Yisrael. Your Hishtadlus is purely your doing. It's nothing got to do with the Rosh. And then go and plow with this Shoyr. It's all Koichi V'Oitzim Yodi. It's all your own doing, nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was the Gezeirah of Yavon. And that is Choshech. It's interesting that, and perhaps, so that's also Kate's Som LaChoshech, could be that it's another remnant of Hanukkah, but Kate's HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought an end to the Choshech. First of all, Choshech means living without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, living in thinking that my Hishtadlus is my own doing, there's nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that means you're living in the dark. That's darkness. And Kate's Som LaChoshech is HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought an end to that Choshech where Klal Yisrael recognized, or Klal Yisrael were able to acknowledge that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means, Kate Som Lachoshech means that Yesh Lanu Chelek B'Elokei Yisrael. What's interesting is that the gematria of Choshech, we start with the gematrias, is 328. Yeah? And Kates is 190. And what's 328 minus 190? That means if you take the Kates away from Choshech, is 138, which is gematria chelek. So that means the chelek. So that means they were saying ein lanu chelek b'lekei Yisrael. That's the choshech is ein lanu chelek b'lekei Yisrael. But if you kate some of the choshech, that means you get the chelek. You get the chelek b'lekei Yisrael. Incidentally, 138 is also the gematria of the letters nun gimel hei pei neis gadol hoyo poi. Yeah, it's also gematria 138. But al kulponim so Parashas Miketz, as we're saying, Parashas Miketz is the message of Parashas Miketz is the idea that we have to have pure talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to recognize even when we do our Hishtadlus that it's everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chanukah, again, that was the message of Chanukah. The message of Chanukah was that Yesh Donu Chelik B'Lekei Yisrael, when we're working with the, so to speak, plowing in the fields, it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not our doing. And the truth is, Chanukah was a time of open Nisim, great Nisim, but as we say, Chanukah, we mentioned Al HaNisim in Moedim, where we say, Al Nisecho Shebechol Yom Imanu. The idea of Chanukah is to recognize that even the mundane, the day-to-day things are all, there's no Teva, it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Sfarim it's brought down, that the bracha of Yotze Hamo'iros, in the bracha of Yotze Hamo'iros, which obviously relates to the Oreos light, relates to Chanukah, there are eight expressions corresponding to the 8 days of Chanukah. Kihu levade poil gevurois, oisa chadoshois, bal muchomois, zere tzedokos, matzvina chashois, boir fois, noishis, adoina niflois. So those are the eight all wondrous expressions about the godness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what happens after Chanukah? How does it carry on? That means Chanukah is a time when we celebrate open Nisim. But the idea of the beyond Chanukah is to get to Hamachadish B'tuvay B'chol Yom Tovin Ma'asiv Reishis, to recognize and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the mundane. In the day-to-day B'chol Yom Tovin Ma'asiv Reishis, there's no such thing as Teva. And the biggest bitachon is not when somebody is Lo Leinu capsized and drowning at sea and he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help. It's the biggest bitachon is when a person turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he's got to go shopping, he's got to find a parking place, and he doesn't say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, find me a parking place. That's the biggest level of bitachon. Things which are mundane, things are simple. And that's what Chanukah is. And that's what Chanukah, that means, so Miketz is the inner of bitachon mishtablus. And through Chanukah we have to get to a level of recognizing that in the day-to-day, in the daily grind, and the most simple things where we're liable to feel that we're in control, and our Hishtabes is doing no to place our trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is that is interesting as well. As we said, Vayigash, which is Tefillah, as we said for Simcha, that's the Lamais of the Bitochim. But what the Tefillah are we talking about? We're talking about a Tefillah of the three times, that means we're talking about Shemoneh Esrei, which is the daily Tefillah. The Vayigash, it's not a tefillah on a particular occasion or a tzorah or something like that. We're talking about Vayigash, as the Rekech says, before we daven Shemoneh Esrei, we daven three times a day. The same tefillah, day in, day out, the same thing, because that is the idea. Tefillah is the lemaisa of our bitochen, and our bitochen in the most mundane and the day-to-day things, that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we don't rely on our own ishtavos. So Miketz, as we said, is Bitochen, and through Chanukah should bring us to the Vayigash, the Tefillah of the Lamaisa of Bitochen, and therefore, as we said, so the end is nigh. In other words, Miketz is the end, Vayigash is the nigh, is the near. Miketz and Vayigash are linked together through Chanukah. Sure, I'm not sure.